Our Father, we thank you that we can come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are present here this morning, that you choose to inhabit a people who you have called from all nations and all generations. So we give you glory this morning. Thank you for calling us as worshippers to worship you in spirit and truth. Amen. So all of you are welcome this morning from Pretoria and going to Alaska. So all places in the world. And I think this is special, this first fruit this morning. And it reflects on the priest that we have. It reflects on our high priest. I'm going to talk a little bit about giving ourselves this morning to God. And it's the same as this first fruit. You know, we can give ourselves on the outside to God. And it can be a form of Jesus. Or we can worship God in our spirit, our soul, and our body. We can live for Him daily. We can let go of our way. There's a healing. Chara taught me this. There's a verse in the prophets. I can't remember if it was Micah, Chara, where God says He heals us. He heals us of our waywardness. Following our own way. Making our own decisions and our own plans. God heals us from that. He heals us to follow His way. Because His way is the best way. His way is the cross. And it's the cross that we're going to speak about this morning in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I first want to pray over this first fruit. And as it represents all of our lives here, give your best to God this morning. Give your heart to Him this morning. Give your thoughts to Him this morning. Be in the moment. Be here. Because God is in the moment. He says, I am who I am. It's a state of being. And He calls us to be in the moment. So Father, as we lift this first fruit this morning, Lord Jesus, we come to you as high priest. And we hold it up to you and we say, Lord, as you blessed Abram with a seed, Father God, you blessed him with a seed, which is Jesus Christ. You blessed him, Lord, and that blessing, because of faith in you, comes through all the generations down onto your church. That same blessing that comes from who you are. I thank you that that blessing is here this morning. It comes on this first fruit. And as every one of us is represented here as first fruit, following after the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for your blessing on us. A blessing that comes from you alone. A blessing that is holistic, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yolanda and Marley, thank you for this. So those last couple of verses of Romans 11. The writer cannot help but give glory to God for all the mercies that he wrote about from chapter 1 to chapter 11. If you've never read the book of Romans, Paul in an old age, after his third missionary journey, I think he was in Corinth when he wrote the book to the Romans. It was a summary of the gospel that he wrote there. It's the foundation of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. It may seem like a difficult book, but it gathers the whole gospel together. It becomes a foundation for all the epistles in the New Testament. In Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, our topic this morning is a living sacrifice. But it's almost like I can call it that because that's what we need to be. But we cannot be that without the mercy of God, without the beauty of God. It's almost like the title doesn't do justice on these two verses. You can go to those two verses. I'm going to read from here. Romans 12. 1 and 2. I'm reading from the New King James Version, or the Modern King James Version. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. So I said the first 11 chapters of Romans talks about the mercies of God. We're going to touch on it just now. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This is normal. That's what he's saying. This is just normal. It is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I don't think we're even going to reach there this morning. There's just so much in these two verses. But you can see it builds up to the way of God. We talked just now about waywardness. And God loves us so much that he wants us to walk in his way. He made every one of us unique. He formed us. Somebody said it this morning. He formed us in our mother's womb. He made us perfect to look after him. His touch, his hands is on us. Even though you never serve God in your life, God has touched you. And always remember this when you stand before an unbeliever, that God has already touched him or her. And his love is there on them. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. God called us out of darkness into his light. It is the cross that does this. It's the death of Jesus. The fact that he came in the flesh. That he lived a sinless life. That he became sin for us on the cross. That he died for us. That he calls us by that same love. He calls us to him. So that when God looks us at us at this moment, he looks at us through the cross. He looks through the blood at us. And he says, you are just. You are innocent. Just means it's a legal term, which means there was an accusation against you. But you've been declared not guilty. And it's because of the cross that this happened, because of Jesus. So that's the first mercy, is justification. That every one of us here can be declared just before God. We can come into a right relationship with God. He calls it in Romans 1:16 that inside the gospel, within the gospel that we have heard and that we preach, is the righteousness of God. This revelation of the righteousness of God. It's a gift. But we want to work it. We want to work righteousness. You cannot work it. It's a gift that we receive by faith from God. And it's locked up within the gospel. Another mercy we receive the moment after that is sanctification. We start changing. The moment we receive that life of Jesus within our spirit man, immediately we start changing. It start judging, or rather, it starts convincing us of the things we've been doing our whole life. It start telling us that this is not according to God's laws. We start feeling it from the inside, that life that is there, that eternal life. So we call it sanctification. As we read the word by the Holy Spirit, we start changing, because it's like we're looking into this mirror and we're changing because of it. Another mercy that we find is glorification. This is all part of the salvation process. Justification, sanctification, glorification. Glorification happens when Jesus comes. Matthew 28, the angel said to the disciples, "Don't be full of sorrow." The same way he went up, the same way he's going to come back. So Jesus is going to come back in the clouds. He's coming to fetch his church. And when he comes, within a moment, this body will change. 1 Corinthians 15, you can go and read that chapter. It's about 60 verses. Talks about this body changing from this DNA that we have to a heavenly DNA. The same DNA that Jesus' body has. So that's glorification. That is needed for the eternal life with Jesus. Ruling with him for 1,000 years. Then it's the white throne judgment. And then for eternity upon eternities. We need a new body like that. All part of salvation. So I've not started with my sermon yet. My first point is exhortation. He says, "I beseech you therefore." Parakalo is the Greek word. I exhort you. I encourage you. But it's more than encouragement. It's not just good advice. It's an authoritative will of God that Paul is representing here. I want you now to do these things. Following verse 1 and 2, he's going to give commands. "I've taught you the doctrine now for 11 chapters, Paul is saying. Now I want you to follow the commands. I want you now to live according to what I've taught you." We spoke about it this morning. You can live Jesus from the outside, and everyone can say, "That one is following the Lord Jesus." But it's only the heart. You know, the heart's deceptive above everything. It's only from the heart you can truly live the Lord Jesus. And that is the living sacrifice he's talking about here. If we look at that verse. "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice." A living sacrifice is not something that happens on the outside. We don't feel that. That can just be rhythms or habits. We feel it when it comes from the inside. So old father, old ancient, I don't know if he's one of the Nicene fathers. He was in the time of Saint Augustine. Chrysostom is his name. Chrysostom, Chrysostom. He asked this question. He said, "How can the body become a sacrifice?" And he answers it and he says, "Let the eye look on no evil, and it is a sacrifice. Let the tongue utter nothing base, it is an offering." There's a whole chapter in James, I think it's James 3, that talks about the tongue. "Let the tongue utter nothing base, and it is an offering. Let the hand work no sin, it is a holocaust." So a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. We are alive. Why are we alive? Not because we breathe, but because of the life of Jesus within us. And everyone that's alive in Christ Jesus is called to present their bodies. It's more than just our bodies. When he talks about our bodies, he talks about the whole being. The Greek word is somata hemon. It's the whole being. It's not just our bodies. It's our thoughts. It's our hearts. Everything is involved. He wants us to live by that. So he's exhorting us. And he's encouraging the churches to follow in these instructions that he's going to give. Here we come to the mercies of God that we have touched on. Remember, justification, sanctification, and then glorification. Third point I've got here is summons to present oneself holy to God. I don't know if I've put Romans 6 on there, John. Can you go to, Romans 6 verse 13. "Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, your members to God as instruments for righteousness. I've asked this question many times, and I say, Lord, when I present myself, is it not flesh? How can I do this by the Spirit? Now, what Paul is teaching in these two verses is that our response, it's our natural response when we think and meditate on the mercies of God, when we think of the wisdom of God, those verses I read to you just now in Romans 11, when we meditate, a natural response from this is to give ourselves holy to the one who gave himself holy. So it's not so much flesh. It's a response that comes from our heart when we think about God and what he's done for mankind. A summons to present oneself holy to God. Verse 19 says, I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. So this is a big chapter, Romans 6, and I normally use this, especially with the young guys, when I sit with them. Romans 6 starts with, you have been baptized into Christ. And I don't think he's so much talking about water baptism, although that is the symbol, but he's talking about us being baptized into Christ, and everything we do from now on is in Christ. In Christ, we make decisions. In Christ, we pray. In Christ, we preach. In Christ, we listen. Everything we do is in Christ because we've been baptized into him. We are now inside Christ. That's why when I said just now, when God looks at us, he looks through the blood. He looks through the cross. He looks at what Jesus has done, and he says, you are not guilty. You are just. You are my child. I wrote here, it must not be severed. The summons to present ourselves holy to God, it must not be severed from the prevenient grace of God, for it is based on it and flows from it. It's a natural response. It's not something superhuman or supernatural. It's a natural response. When you read the mercies of God, what he's done, our natural response is to give ourselves completely to him. Do you realize this is, it's not playing church. This is completely against playing church. This is spirit, soul, and body. We give ourselves. There's another verse, 1 Peter 2. Go to the next slide. I think I've put it up there. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. So he talks about Jesus there, being a living stone, rejected by men. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That last line talks about worship. So this whole thing becomes worship. The whole way we live, the whole way we give ourselves to God as a response to all his mercies, it becomes worship, the way we live. He calls it living stones, I believe, because it is a building. We are a building. What he showed Moses on the mountain was a tabernacle in heaven. He showed him a heavenly tabernacle. And he told him to go and build it, or to copy it on earth. And then after the tabernacle, Solomon built a temple in Jerusalem. And in both these structures, the presence of God came and dwelt in the Holy of Holies. It's exactly the same today. His presence is dwelling now here in you, in the Holy of Holies. In your spirit, man, collective as a body, the Holy Spirit's presence is dwelling there. That's why we are living stones. As he was a living stone, and as he was rejected, we will be rejected. This world will not accept us laying our life down for them. And in that is a test as well, when they reject our love, which is actually God's love through us. Fourth point I want to make is a living sacrifice. And it is this verse. The presentation of the body is described as a sacrifice, living holy and well-pleasing to God. And we spoke about living being our spiritual state that we are in. This is the state Adam and Eve was created in. They were in a living state. They could communicate with God. They were in a right relationship with God. Until they sinned, when they were disobedient to God, when they chose to follow their own way, because that's what they did. Satan offered them a different way and they chose to follow that way. Then they lost relationship. They died. Spiritually, they died. My fifth point is your reasonable service. Can we go back to Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, John? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Your reasonable service, it is eminently reasonable, given the mercies of God, for believers to dedicate themselves wholly to God. 6. A call to worship. The fundamental sin is the failure to worship God. Can we understand that for God to have done so much and we ignore it, we don't worship Him as the Creator, as the Father, a good Father? It is a sin. Our lives, not just a half an hour here at church, but our lives must be a natural response of worship to God. Those who worship God give their entire lives over to Him so that He is honored and praised in everything they do. He speaks about conformity there. There is so much pressure from the world for us to conform to their thinking, to the way they think about stuff. It's interesting that in the second verse that he talks about thoughts, he talks about our mind, the renewal of our mind. Because it is there where we will win the battle. The renewing of the mind has got to do with the Word of God that is alive. The Word is Jesus. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, the Word became flesh. As we sit here listening to the Word of God, believing it, trusting it, it is becoming flesh in our lives. The same as was with Jesus. And he talks about transformation. The renewal of the mind involves penetration of the coming age into the present evil age. We've got this age that we are living in on earth, physical age. We've got a future age that is coming, a spiritual age, where Jesus will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we will reign with Him for 1,000 years, and then Satan is released for a while and judged, and then we will reign further with Jesus. So this age that we are living in, the coming age, is penetrating into this age. It's almost like eternity is swallowing up the temporal. We're living in a temporal age. But God has called us for eternity. The life that is in us is eternal. You can't measure it with chronos time. It's based on seasons. It's based on kairos, which is measured in seasons. God brings seasons to an end and He starts new seasons again. That's kairos time. Chronos is for this age, and that will come to an end. The Bible tells us, Daniel, Zechariah, Revelations, Matthew 24, He tells us that this age will come to an end, so that the new age can begin. And we're already being resurrected beings. We're already in that new age through Jesus. Have I got Titus 3 there, John? Titus 3 verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That is now. We are heirs of eternal life already. So it's the next age, aeon, breaking into this age, in this present age. This age is evil. Also talk about cosmos. Cosmos is this world. And he says the god of this world, small g, is Satan. He's the god of this world. He's the god of this aeon. The next aeon is where we will rule with Jesus. But we start living it now already, because He's brought us to life from death. Believers resist the pressures to conform to the present evil age by the renewal of their minds. I said to you, God will use you as a living sacrifice in your world, where you are, in your family, your friends, your workplaces, your businesses. He will use you there. But the world will not necessarily accept you being a living sacrifice. They will probably reject it. Jesus was rejected. That is our comfort. It is also a test for us when people reject us being a living sacrifice, because it will show the quality of the love that is in us. And we will know if it is selfish love or whether it's God's love, agape love, that is working through us. So don't expect the world to accept you being a living sacrifice and being called as a living sacrifice. The downward spiral of thinking traced in Romans 1 verse 18 to 32 is reversed in those who are redeemed from sin. I don't want to read all those verses now, but you can go and read Romans 1. It shows you how a reprobate mind, how it spirals down. Just because they stop looking at God, same what Adam did, stop looking at God, started looking at themselves, them being strong, them being wise, them being righteous, and then there's a downward spiral that happens. God has designed it that way. But with the renewing of the mind, it comes against that downward spirals, and it picks us up, and it teaches us what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit as we study the Word of God. And every one of those fruit are strengths. They are powerful. If you talk about joy, joy is a strength. It's much stronger than pleasure or being happy. Joy is a strength. You find it many times when you pray for somebody and the Lord answers that prayer, it releases joy in you. It's like fuel in your tank. You can run on that joy. Their minds are not given over to futility, but are renewed to understand the truth. Did I put 2 Corinthians 3 there, John? Corinthians 3:18, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. As we look into this mirror, as we look into truth, the Word of God is truth, it changes us. As we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to understand God, to hear His heart and what is important to Him, it changes us day by day. Gradual transformation from glory to glory occurs as believers meditate and reflect on the beauty and splendor of the Lord. Brings us all the way back again to the beginning, that we are worshippers. We don't wake up one morning and decide to be worshippers. It's a natural response to all the mercies of God, to what He's done in our life. And it opens this mouth. And when our words get stuck here to speak to somebody, when you meditate on God and what He's done in your life, it opens our mouth to engage with another person and to bring life to that person by the Holy Spirit. I want to pray for us. Father, we thank You for living words that flows from these pages of Your Word, that connects to our hearts, which is alive. We thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are the agent. You are a person, the third of the Godhead. You are God. And we thank You that You lead us into these truths. Thank You for Your mercy, Father, all the mercies that You've given to your church. And we say this morning that we want to worship You, Lord, with our whole lives. Everything that we have, we declare that it belongs to You. Our sojourn on this earth, Father, we declare that we are from a heavenly city, and You are the one that are the lamp for our feet. You are the one that directs our paths. We trust in You. We believe in You. In Jesus' name, amen.